Clinton says, people should and do trust me. She says there is no basis in law or fact that she did anything wrong on her emails. San Francisco's Francisco Sanchez used a large caliber gun stolen from a federal agent when he killed Catherine Steinle. The New York Stock Exchange had a computer glitch today, as did United Airlines, and they had a computer glitch. The Greeks may go from dancing in the streets to living in them. Alan Grayson is going to run for the Senate, and the China bubble is bursting, and the stock market is collapsing, and Chinese investors were heard to say,
I would offer him sake, but I guess that's Japanese,
that's
right? But they may need it before it's over, too, the way this thing's confiscated.
All right, that is the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. I am Christopher Hart. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We'll be here right to 7 o'clock tonight, and we are coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. And we do have a lot to talk about tonight, but, of course, we're always happy to take your phone calls. You know the number, or in case you don't, it's 407-774-8255. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, so we are in good hands tonight. Mike McBath, you're chairman of the board. I mean, played for the Buffalo Bills, but when you left the Bills, you went to the University of Florida. Now, did you get an MBA?
No, I went to Penn State undergraduate,
right,
and then I went to graduate school at the University of Florida, master's degree in economics, while I was playing professional football. One of probably eight people that did it. This was long, long ago.
Right, right.
And, you know, when I see what's going on in China, I mean, I just have a great deal of empathy for these people, because really, their naivety is probably back to 1929 here in this country.
In terms of investing in the stock market.
Investing, expertise, skills. Plus, their markets are not very sophisticated. They don't have, look what happens to us. We get a glitch, right? And
right.
Well, these people have, they don't have the rules, the regulations, the stop gaps, the just general expertise on the part of the public. And when you play this game can get awful rough. And to show you how rough it is, in the last 3 weeks, they've lost over 40% of the value of the market. And, you know, remember, these people are very naive, young, affluent people over in China that are playing this game.
Right.
And they have been encouraged by the government. And they're also, oh boy, they're on margin, a great deal of them. And, you know, when you're on margin, every time that stock falls, you can get a margin call, and you can get wiped out very quickly.
Yeah, let's for some of our listeners who might not know what a margin call is. And by the way, Mike, after he got his degree in economics from UF, he went to work for UBS and was a top trader for them for 38 years.
38 years, a long time in the brokerage business, but the reality is, again,
well, real quick, a margin call is when, in essence, you borrow,
let's say, half the money.
Right.
And, you know, it depends what some rules
and
are, 60%.
And you use the stock as collateral.
That's right.
So when the value of the stock goes down, they want something to replace that
every
collateral.
Every time that value clicks down, at a certain point, you got to put up more money, or you sell and take your loss.
Right, to pay for the collateral.
You got it.
And so my advice would be never to buy on margin
for the retail investor. Realistically, unless you're an insider or something, I don't know why you would buy in margin.
Yeah, because you're putting your butt way out there on the limb.
Oh, you're way out. But the main thing is, you've got a nation of naive people. They're all stuck in this market because what happened? There's over 1,000 stocks right now that they actually stopped trading on. Well,
and this is no glitch.
Yeah, this is no glitch. Now, remember what happens in stop trading. Let's say, I'm just using this example, let's say I bought XYZ company and I paid $30 a share, and let's say, you know, market's rough the last 3 weeks, and they stopped trading at 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a naive person might think, oh, well, that's okay, you know. They stopped at 20.
Right. At least it won't go anymore.
My friend, you know, after last night and what could happen this morning or tomorrow and the next couple of days, that stock might open up, because you can't do anything until they open it.
Right.
That might open up at 10.
Right.
Guess what? You may be sending money in besides covering your margin. You'll be covering your margin and sending extra because you lost.
In other words, you could sell your stock at such a low value that it doesn't even pay for your margin call.
That's correct.
If you're investing that way.
But the problem they're really facing is the actual government has poured money into this because they are actually getting a great deal of aggravation from the naive investment community in China. And the reality of it is, you know, this could be really an ugly situation. Plus, a lot of people don't realize China has massive debt. You know, China's debt at the end of 2014 was running up around $28 trillion.
Right.
They must have had the same advisor we had. You know, Mr. Obama's probably helping them out, you know.
Well,
Mr. Obama.
Well, let's look at this in sort of the larger picture. And there's an article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today that kind of echoes what you're saying. I'll get to that here in a second. But consider that for, the past, I don't know, before the Chinese had the Olympics in the summer of 2008, for quite some time before that, and then up until about now, their economy had been, quote-unquote, booming.
Right.
A double-digit growth rates for some of those early years, and then going down to 7% growth rate. Now they're looking at a stalling economy. And that stalling economy, once it stalls, it's like an airplane. When that thing stalls, it can come down like a rock. But it's part of the cyclical nature of capitalism, and they've had pretty much unbridled capitalism fueled by the government investment, building huge cities where nobody is living in them just to drive the economy forward, and now it's coming time to pay the piper.
And think, who are your biggest consumers in China? It's the people in the market. And if the market drops 40%, you know, that consumerism disappears. Here goes your economy again.
Right.
And the fact that they are so much in debt. And then the other thing that happens is their sole purpose is to try to build an economy, you know, where they can support themselves, because they've been an exporter because of currency. You know, currency right now, the dollar is up, which means their goods are cheaper for us to buy. But the other side of it is, you know, they got to develop their economy. And this is not going to lean well for that either.
They got a lot of mouths to feed over there. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs of today's Wall Street Journal, an article entitled "Beijing's Meddling in Market Betrays Insecurity" at the top. Yeah. Dateline Shanghai. Far more than simply a market crisis, the turmoil on the Shanghai Stock Exchange is viewed by China's leadership as a potential security threat to the regime. That helps explain the barrage of measures unleashed by financial authorities to counter a sudden market downturn that threatened to shake public confidence in the government.
Right. And the other thing, what scares me a little bit, again, because of our wonderful leadership in Washington, which we have none, is the fact that, you know, how do you come out of a problem like this? One way is to get people, nationalism, excited about a war, excited about a conflict, because it gets their mind off of their everyday nightmare. And particularly this market is going to touch a great deal of people who really thought that, boy, China is, we're on the move.
Right.
Well, you know, when you get this margin calls and you get whacked and you stay down for a few years, you're not on the move anywhere.
No. And
you're going to be on the move out of your house.
Right. And this steep fall followed a 150% gain last year, which was driven, as these gains gain momentum, people begin to start piling in the market. They drive it higher. They keep piling in. So you get a lot of late investors who are already underwater.
It always works, right. They all come in the end.
Right.
They're the ones who are going to get this 40% down.
Yeah,
they're going to screen. The government has been encouraging us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and again, I think they could get waxed again tonight, when the markets begin to open up over in Asia. So hopefully not, because having been in the business, I don't like to see anybody get waxed. But, are they set up for a potential nightmare?
Yeah, and the thing about the stock market, you learn if you're an investor, is the smaller percentages down take out the larger percentages up.
That's exactly right.
In other words, you can have a stock double in price, go down half and you're back to where you started, right?
Right. That's so it. Absolutely it, right. It,
so the once
Plus, you know, we do have American companies over there, McDonald's and a bunch of them. Now, the problem they're going to have, too, on earnings comes out this week for the second quarter, is that, you know, is the dollar. Because when they try to transfer their money, you know, they're going to get a lesser exchange, which means the profits they obtain will be lessened because of how the dollar's moved against the currency.
Yeah, but I want to go back to your point about, and this point that the Wall Street Journal is making here, where the Chinese government is viewing this economic, this financial market crisis, if you will, as a security threat to the nation. So, you know, they're on high alert. They're going to be doing whatever it takes to maintain their government. And they have other problems besides this. They have a massive, obviously, population over there, the largest in the world. But it's quite out of balance, too, because they've had this one baby policy and one child policy, forced abortions, forced birth control. And it ended up with a lot more males who are now in the 20 to, say, 30, 40-year-old age group than females.
Right. That's all called right? military age.
Right. And they ain't into Caitlyn over there yet.
Right.
Okay. They ain't into gay marriage and all that stuff yet. Okay. So they're still thinking old-fashioned heterosexuality and all that good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they are way out of balance. And once again, you get financial, economic unrest. You get the population, the natives, restless, and then you have this wacky population out of balance.
Right.
What's a good thing to do to balance things out? You know,
there we go.
Basically, you know, put them out there in war with somebody. You know, you got a couple of 100 million men that you can spare.
And then you saw it a few weeks ago when there was a conference between the United States and China. China virtually just blatantly said to America, hey, we're going to challenge you in the air. Our technology is just about as good as yours. This is pretty scary because the psychological problems that will evolve if this market goes down further and stays down. Oh, can you imagine the pressure on the government to do something to take their mind off of what's happening to them?
You know? Yeah. Absolutely. It definitely bears worth watching, which is what we intend to do. And the chairman of the board, you know, brings great expertise in this sort of thing. So continue to listen to us.
It brings
folks.
Great empathy.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like. It's like, you know, how'd you like to try to catch a falling knife, you know, in a down market?
Right.
Not too easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And without, as you say, the naivete, the newness of the people investing over there, they're not nimble. They're not quick.
No, they're not.
So, So, okay, we'll stick around. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about. And don't forget, you are listening to us live on AM 660 The Answer, and we will be here live until 7 o'clock. The Rays are playing tonight. They got clocked again last night. It was a bad day for the Rays yesterday. Hopefully they'll turn it around tonight in KC. But that game will start at 8:10. The pregame show starts at 7:30. So we'll be here live until 7, so don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, he's still out there strutting and swaggering. No, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Carl Jackson. Did you see him on TV this morning? He was styling and profiling.
I thought he did. I told you I would watch.
Yes.
And I thought he did a very professional job. And he actually related to our station here. You know, he's a nice representative. He did a terrific job.
He was. He was styling and profiling.
I love it.
I got up. I usually get up about between 7 and 7:30, mm-hmm. somewhere in that area. So about 17:15, I'm rolling out of the sack, and I get this text from Nostradamus that he's going to be on Local Fox at 7:20.
All right.
And I caught him on that, and I thought he did an excellent job on that.
Yeah.
With I think it was Amy or whatever the girl's name is. Yeah. And he was styling and profiling. Looked like he'd been doing that for a long time.
He really does, though, have a great logic. I mean, he can frame an argument as well as I've seen.
Yeah.
And he has good moral values, which is what most people in the media are lacking. Most of them have zero moral values.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's great to see him. And hopefully this leads to more and more success for the fella.
He's got a real sharp analytical mind.
Right. And I like it because I listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. Great work, Carl. Okay. And before we get out of the stock market, the stock market had a glitch today. The New York Stock Exchange. Now, in China, one part of the problem in China is they pretty much just have the one exchange called the Shanghai. Is that right?
No, there are others, Hong Kong exchange. I mean, there's other, but China's main exchange is the Shanghai.
And that's the one where they're having all the problems.
Well, the glitch was right here.
But the glitch, computer glitch, we're being told today, was at the New York Stock Exchange. And it was back up and running before the close. It closed down pretty sharply today, not necessarily because of the glitch, but I think also because of China. And, of course, the situation in Greece. But I think the market is beginning to focus more on China and not so much Greece.
Well, Greece is so infinitesimally unimportant, unless you live there.
Right, yeah.
You know, unless you live there. Relative to China, it's like, you know, what is it? As big as South Carolina, Greece.
As far as the economy goes,
at some point, there'll be some miniature-type bailout. And unfortunately, because they follow the Communist Manifesto that our president follows, they're going to suffer. I mean, I don't care what's done for Greece. They're going to suffer severely for the next 3-4 years. But I think on this glitch in the United States, you know, I've been through glitches. You know, you turn on the TV, and I've been in, like I said, I was in the business 38 years, retired now 3 years. But it's a case that it happens. But what now makes everybody uneasy that didn't exist back 10 years ago and 15 years ago is hacking, because we don't know. Now, they claim there was no nefarious reasons, you know, why the market closed 3.5 hours or anything.
Right.
And hopefully they're straightforward. I assume they would be. I'd hate to see a financial institution not be straightforward.
Right, right.
But the realities of it are that it scares a lot of investors because many people watch these shows.
Well, not only that, let's assume just for a moment that it wasn't hacking, or we could assume that it was. In either case, because it's all now electronic, it makes us very vulnerable, doesn't it? I mean, I kind of long for the days when you had the pit traders, the guys out there going, oh, I'll have the redemption, blah, blah. And for instance, just the other day, I think they closed down the pit trading on the Chicago Board of Commodities Exchange market. When you have people actually on the floor, isn't it harder for a glitch like this to actually take hold?
Plus, I've always been a fan of, I call it, have paper in my hand. You know, this day and age, I always laugh because all these brokerage firms want everybody to, you know, take your statements and stuff by email.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think a guy's been in the business for 38 years takes it by email?
No.
Don't think so, buddy. You know, I read papers because of, let's say what happened today was really an attack on us, and they really messed up. Where are you going to have any proof?
Right. It's all electronic. It's gone.
Right. I want proof that, geez, you know, 2 days ago I had this, so I didn't lose it all.
Right.
And, but I think the worst part about what I observed today is turning from channel to channel was just how the media acted as if this was something so traumatic that this could really alter the markets.
Right.
If anything will alter the markets tomorrow, it'll be obviously China. Earnings come out for the second quarter, which I don't think will be great, but it's not going to be that glitch. If that was not a hack of all hacks, not the glitch. I mean, we've been through this before.
Right.
But, you know, the media.
Yeah, but that's great advice, you know, and folks, you know, I still prepare my taxes, for instance, by hand because I want a record, you know. I mean, you could print it out if you want on a computer, but I'm just a believer in paper, like you, paper hard copies.
No, I want to see everything, and to show you how good a broker was, I used to tell my clients, I can always make you a small fortune if I start with a large one.
All right. So it was a stock market glitch today. But, the markets tomorrow morning are going to be jittery.
And look at even the Japanese market, if you take a glance, you know, that's been roughed up here in the last week or so. And you do get a contagion in the sense that if this is really blasted tomorrow, the ramifications of, let's say, a down market, a deeply down market in China, will radiate throughout the world.
As a matter of fact, we will feel it.
We will definitely begin to feel it.
You know, I believe I speculated Monday that the oil prices, which took a pretty steep drop Monday, was due to the Iran deal. There was speculation the Iran deal was going to go through, but perhaps it didn't have anything to do with that at all. Maybe that was part of it. But now I believe the oil market, the rest of the commodities market, our markets are going to be very sensitive to what happens in China because that's where a lot of the business has, you know, been supported. And if their economy goes flat and goes south, look for the price of oil to go down, the price of aluminum to go down, the price of copper to the bottom to fall out of that. So
and watch what happened. Remember I talked about the 10-year Treasury the other day?
Yeah.
10-year Treasury came down pretty sharply. And
today,
it's a case, what's the 10-year Treasury telling you? They're not going to raise rates. They're not going to raise rates probably till January next year or beyond.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all you do is watch the 10-year Treasury. The answer's there. The answer's there.
Yeah.
And I don't listen to any media person. I'm watching a 10-year Treasury.
Yeah, but this is a change for the United States because we have been relying so much on exports to China in the form of commodities that as that economy goes south, our economy is going to suffer for it because people who work in those industries are going to get laid off. Corporations may go bankrupt if the bottom falls out of those markets, which it could very well do. Copper was being supported by what China was doing over there. All right, so if you've been out there stealing the air conditioner parts, you better get them tonight because you may not be able to sell it tomorrow. All right, but to listen to the American Adversaries, folks. We keep you up to date on everything out there. We'll be right back after this short break.
I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won.
All right, that's right. This is our song for Hillary Clinton, who gave an interview yesterday to CNN.
Chris, I was thinking, you know, maybe she's a cowgirl at heart because she likes to lasso people with ropes.
I thought that was great, though.
You know, I can't believe that people would put up with that abuse.
I know it. I mean, you want to talk about...
Is this the queen complex? I am the queen. You people are nothing.
All I know is if they were ever to put a rope around me to follow a candidate, I would say, you take the rope, I'm going that away.
Yeah.
To hell with a candidate. But it was so demeaning to these reporters to be lassoed and led around like preschoolers. It reminds me, sometimes I drive through downtown and you see these little parade of preschoolers and they're all tied together with a rope.
Chris, but she's very sensitive feelings person.
Right.
Yeah.
And according to Hillary Clinton in her interview yesterday, she said, people should and do trust me. And she also said, it reminded me of Al Gore. Remember when Al Gore, they were talking about taking all those illegal donations from the Chinese and the nuns and everything?
Right.
He said that there was no prevailing legal authority, to deal with
those. When you
hear
those lines, you know she's guilty.
And
guilty.
She says there is no basis in law or fact.
Isn't that great? Guilty?
Yeah.
You don't have to go any further.
In terms of the emails. Yeah. Well, let's just put those two statements together because, in fact, the whole point of the email is she didn't trust the Obama administration, and the Obama administration didn't want her doing that because they didn't trust her.
Chris, the other thing I was trying to figure out, supposedly she sent all the emails, back to be inspected, and then they came back and they said, well, there's 25 of them that are emails that were classified.
Right.
Well, wait a second. You're the Secretary of State, and you didn't know they were classified? And then you send it back, and then when we want the classified emails, we can't get those because what type of circus is this?
It is a circus.
She's the clown,
and
boy.
She's
her
the clown.
And Mr. O.
Yeah, and even the woman who interviewed her was unimpressed by her answers. And they were pretty softball questions. She had her pat answers already set to go, regardless of what the question was going to be. But the one about people should and do trust me, that's her weakest point.
You know,
don't trust her.
When somebody comes up to you and said, trust me, you know what? Where that goes.
Right, yeah.
And the other thing is, well, I got elected twice. Well, so Barack Obama.
Yeah.
The guy is a consummate liar.
Yeah.
I mean, which we all know. This is proven. This isn't just my emotional statement or anything like that.
Right.
He's an absolute liar.
Yeah.
As you are, Hillary.
Right, yeah.
I've been elected twice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is why I say that their campaign strategy of not letting her do interviews is actually pretty brilliant.
No,
because every time she opens her mouth, she looks stupid.
You know?
Yeah, I tell you. But no, people don't trust her. A vast number of people don't trust her. And here's the problem Hillary Clinton has. She started out at the top of the mountain. Okay, everybody knows Hillary Clinton. Everybody already had basically drawn conclusions about her. now the people who drew negative conclusions about her are feeling as though they're being confirmed, right? This I knew it all along,
right,
type attitude.
Right.
Whereas the people who didn't buy into it now are having their confidence in her shaken. She cannot go up in the polls, is what I'm saying.
That's true.
She can only go down. And when you only start out with, 47, 52%, and you go down from there, and she will go down, it opens the door for the other side.
Can you imagine when Biden announces he's going to run? I mean, I don't think he would, but, that would be pretty damaging.
I can see Biden coming in late and selling himself as the alternative to a crashing, a train wreck.
I would love to see those in a debate because he couldn't remember the question. She wouldn't answer it honestly, and the other guy's a socialist, so he doesn't know where he is. That would be a great debate, wouldn't it?
Indeed it would. But this brings me back now to the Republicans, though, for a moment. There are a lot of conservatives out there, shall we say, having hissy fits about Donald Trump and that he's going to ruin the Republicans' chances and this and all this other business. Well, that is only true if our candidate field, which we are being told is so strong, is not so strong after all. If they're going to be not so much men of themselves, but somehow some reflection of Donald Trump, then they'll be no better than Mitt Romney. I mean, they'll be a shadow of themselves. They'll be what the other side defines them as. And that will be their fault as much as anyone else's. Having said that, too, I think it would be wise for the Republican Party to be kind of nice to Donald Trump, because he is the one candidate in this whole shebang who could run as an independent
Even, right. I think he could really be a disaster to the Republican Party if he goes independent.
And if they, jerk him around enough, he would be the kind of guy that would do it. So my advice is to the folks out there who are having these hissy fits is bite your tongue and be nice to the guy. Otherwise, it may hurt you even more. And try to reframe the argument. If you don't like what he is saying, at least understand that there is basis of fact in what he is talking about. And what he's talking about is illegals coming here illegally. There are a lot of people who understand and believe what he says, including wealthy people in Mexico. All right. They see these people as the what did they used to say back in the old days? The unclean, the unwashed or whatever. That's how the Mexican middle and upper class views the people that they are sending to the United States. Sending them here, maybe not, sticking money in their pocket and saying, go over, muchacho, to the gringos. But sending them here in the essence that they don't include them in the economy.
I think what's great about this, we're getting more of a debate on illegal immigrants now than we've had for months. So at least it's out there. And then the other day, this is frightening. The cost for illegal immigrants costs us $113 billion annually.
Yep.
And, in Texas, from 208 to 214, they've had 642,000 crimes in Texas by illegals.
Yeah.
You think that's a lot?
Yeah. And see, the problem with the Republicans is they think that, oh, my gosh, if we talk about truth, then we're going to upset the Latinos, and they're not going to vote for us. It is wrong.
And it's like your student body. If I went in and talked to a bunch of college students, I would open up and do the statistics and then just say, look, I'm all for immigration, legal immigration.
Legal immigration. That's right. Because when you do it legally, we don't have all these problems. And let's look at it this way. And this is the you want to call it a sad fact or whatever. This is the fact of the matter. When these people come here illegally, they become criminals as soon as they cross the border, and they remain criminals. Now, what do you call it in golf when you get to do over something?
A mulligan. Why do you ask me that? Because I'm a very good golfer. Thank you.
You never would use one of those.
I might be a loser.
But do you think that one of us would get a mulligan to go out and break a law, let's say, tonight?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No, we would be viewed as a criminal, and we would still be a criminal until we were apprehended, unless somehow we could outlast the statute of limitations, depending on the crime that we commit, right? But we're not going to be given any mulligans. We're not going to be rewarded for committing a crime. These people have committed a crime as soon as they step across the border. They are criminals, and they remain criminals until they either go back or they get legal. And we're not going to provide them a way to get legal.
Yeah, but you don't deserve it. You're an American citizen.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Did you see this, too? 24% of the federal prisoners in jail are illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, but just think about this. Why don't the Republicans, I mean, if I was trying to win the Spanish vote, I would explain what my reason is, the solution, and why I need this solution, because we can't go on with 642,000 crimes. We can't go on with all these numbers. But what I will do, I will make sure the best and the brightest are taken care of.
I would reframe the argument this way. I would say this. It is not compassionate for us to have these people come here illegally and live, as criminals. Because when they come across the border, they know they're coming here illegally, and they begin a life of crime. They cannot just go out and be regular participants in the society. They have to remain underground, if you will. So we're instilling in them criminal mentalities.
And imagine
that is not a compassionate thing to do.
And the abuse they have to take
to get here.
They're so scared to be turned in.
That's right. And there are rapists. And a lot of the rapists are raping the people who are coming here and putting their lives in jeopardy. This is not a compassionate thing to do. The compassionate thing to do would be to secure the border and then have a way for the people to come in as documented workers. Documented from the day they step across the border, they are now legal in the sense that they are not here as criminals.
It's too logical.
Yeah, well, see.
This is something we could actually do instead of messing it up like we have everywhere we go with this government.
Right, but see, the Republicans don't want to deal with these realities, and that's why they're making fun of Trump. That's why they're calling Trump a clown. That's why they're warning the Republican candidates, oh, you better not make nice with Trump. It'll ruin your chances of ever becoming president of the United States. Well, I'm here to tell you, if we got to hide the truth to become president of the United States, it ain't worth being it.
I'm going to look forward. I really do want to see the polls in the next couple of days when they come out to see if he boosted up with all the information that's coming out all the problems nationwide.
And the poll numbers, he's second, but he's only got like 10%.
Oh, I know.
But the point is, he's making good points, maybe in a clumsy way, but as like you said, this issue is now front and center, and it should be front and center for this campaign. Now, the Republicans don't want it. They don't want to touch anything that's controversial. They're a bunch of doggone, I hate to say it, but wussies.
Yeah.
They have become wussified. You can't be wussified in politics and expect to lead the country should you get elected.
I mean, if you can't beat Hillary Clinton with all her flaws, I mean, she will go
pack
down.
It in.
I know. Just forget it. Close the party down, and maybe we'll all become libertarians or something.
I don't know.
But
in all of this, one guy I believe is shining because he did put a refrain on this whole thing, and he did nonetheless recognize Don Trump as making some decent points, and that was Ted Cruz. Everybody else has been slinking and sliding, slipping and sliding.
He raised a lot of money. Did you see how much he raised?
Yeah.
It was like $51 million.
Yeah, combined with him and his super PAC. Yes.
Yeah, pretty good.
He is a player.
Yeah.
And this, I believe, he is distinguishing himself. He is showing himself to be the elder statesman. You listen to his comments Sunday morning, what he said when he was asked about Donald Trump, it was the elder statesman. Look, Don is making some points here. I don't agree with the way he's saying it, but he's right about this, in essence, is what Cruz said. And that's what these other guys, they better get on the ball and realize that you may not like him, you may not like his style, but you better pay attention and you better pay him respect or he can pay you some punishment.
I saw Carly, too, the other night, Carly Farina. Boy, she was terrific again.
Yep.
Hope she gets her chance.
I do, too. We'll be right back.
My father, man.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Macbeth. I'm here with Christopher Hart. I hope you liked our introductory song. That was dedicated to the young lady who doesn't know who she is, what planet she's on, or what country she's in.
Did you hear there's another, I think it was a professor in California that got caught saying she was a Cherokee Indian and has no proof whatsoever, no ties, and
I
got
would honestly,
all kinds of benefits from it. Yeah.
I would bet if you did an audit, and I mean this, of all colleges, and particularly the Ivy League, you would find a massive amount of fraud. you know, because of people changing nationalities and everything else to try to get an edge on the other. That's why you got to do away with affirmative action. This thing, if there's ever a racist move or whatever you want to term it, affirmative action is it.
Yeah.
You can't be more racist than that.
Well, unfortunately, they were getting ready to have affirmative action in our neighborhoods.
I know.
Something
utopia.
Called utopia housing. Tell us about this.
Well, Chris, the HUD, I think today, if you look around, you'll
Department
notice.
Department of Housing and Urban Development.
They've made the decision. They would like to take upper-level neighborhoods and then put affirmative housing, we'll call it, into those neighborhoods where, you know, your income has to be about one-third of your what you make. That goes toward paying the bill.
Right.
Well, obviously, these houses, I'm not sure they're going to fit in Aliqua too well. And it's a case that I think there's, for what they, here's what the liberal viewpoint is. Well, they'll have a much better zip code number, and their education will be better, and they'll have much more opportunity. Well, you know what? You know how you get into a great housing neighborhood? Work your you-know-what off. That's how you get in there.
Yep.
You don't get in there under a government program. These people, whatever color they are that live in there, I don't care. They're going to be resentful because they, you know, the idea in America is you start when you're 20, 21, you go make a lot of money, and then you live in a wonderful neighborhood and have all the benefits associated with it. But not these idiots out of Washington, boy.
No.
I think, you know, they should live there. Wait a second. What are they doing in my neighborhood with a...
It's
hard to go on, Chris.
Right. Well, this, of course, is a new regulations are being written by the HUD, Housing and Urban Development, and what they're going to they in the name of diversity.
No, I call punishing the conservative right.
It's punishing people who work hard.
Right.
For
which will be the conservative right.
Right.
In most cases.
I mean, let's face it. One reason why people go out and work hard and to make a living and better their position in life is to get a bigger house, a better house in a better neighborhood with neighbors that you want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be of all different colors. That's the beauty of capitalism is if you got the green, you get the stuff. And it doesn't matter what the color of the hand is, holding the green.
Rule.
Yeah.
We know that one.
That's right. But once again, this is a government, you know, coming in and trying to tell cities and people that they know better how they should live.
I think they're going to get a backlash on this that they don't expect. I think this is what is termed a trial period or anything.
Right. Well,
I think we have to start building some of these around some of the wealthiest Democrats.
We can start with
then they can get an example and study and see how it affected the value of their house.
I think we should start up there in Heathrow, right out back of John Morgan's house. You know, so when he has Hillary and all these others come, they can point at it and go, "Look at the wonderful thing we're doing for our neighborhood."
All the we're helping.
Yeah, right. You know? Can you imagine them doing that? Yeah.
I mean,
no, not likely.
This again,
it's an attack on the middle class, is what it is. Because middle-class people are the ones who work hard. They really cherish the homes that they live in. They cherish their neighborhoods. Not that rich folk don't, too, okay? But it's working-class people, the middle class, who are going to be affected more than the wealthy by this, obviously.
I wonder, too, will those people be invited to the Christmas party of everybody in that neighborhood? Or will they be invited to play in a golf club? Or will they be able to afford a golf club?
Yeah, well...
Oh, we all forgot about that. Well, maybe we'll have another subsidy for that. So then, okay, listen, I want to make sure that you can join the private club. So we'll, as a government guy, we'll give you another $2,000 a month.
And it's just another step towards socialism when you think about it, right? Oh. Because what it's doing is it's taking away the incentive to do better. And that's the
that's what America's built upon.
I know
we are here to get better and better at what we do, to compete at the highest level, to get the highest level of achievement.
And that's what liberals resent about America.
I know.
You see?
So sit
and
around,
that's
smoke
what they're,
pot.
That's what they're trying to take away from America, is because if anything makes us great, it is the fact that we get out, we improvise, we work hard, we try to better our lives. And that's why immigrants come to this country legally. And maybe some of them came here illegally to do that, but the problem is they cannot really accomplish it. You see? They can't own nice houses and nice neighborhoods. Why? Because they are criminals. They are here illegally. We got to get away from this politically correct language.
Right.
You know? And we got to demand of our candidates, we want the border secure. And we're not going to take no for an answer.
I mean, even reflect back to our friend Little John. Guy came from Macedonia. Couldn't even speak English. His two children are doctors.
Came here with $55.
And he's driving a big Mercedes, right? The American dream. But you know what he said? One thing. I never took a dime from the government.
Yep.
He said, I didn't even know how to take a dime. All I did was work and work and work.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Welcome to the neighborhood, John. I have no problem with that.
Right. The insidious thing about socialism, communism, progressivism, whatever you want to call it, is it crushes the human spirit. Because the human spirit innately wants to grow and be strong. It does not want to be coddled and be weak. It is naturally inclined to strengthen itself.
Well, you can
a baby wants to pull itself up. It doesn't want to just lay there on the ground. From the very beginning of our lives, we are trying to do something beyond what we can do already.
Well, let's
and
take
that's
a look.
What it takes away from us.
Chris, let's take a look at the top 5 or 10 U.S. cities, all run by our friends on the Democratic side. How are they doing?
How's the debt doing?
How's the job? How's the growth? We know what the answer is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Once again, you can join us in the conversation. We got a call or two on the line. We'll get to them after the break. The number is 407-774-8255. Real quickly, it is summertime. I was out today. Sure enough, I was working under an oak tree, and one of those big old carpenter ants fell on my shoulder and bit me before I could grab him and crush him.
Ooh.
So I cleaned it up a little bit, put some Roxy Pacifics on there.
And your hair fell out.
And no, never worried about it again.
Wait a second, you don't have any hair to fall out. So.
No, this is great stuff, folks. Roxy Pacifics is all natural, kelp-based, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin. To fix your skin, simply go to skinfix.us. That's skinfix.us. The stuff really does work. And it's safe to use. It's real easy to use. You can even use it on your pets. So don't be without Roxy Pacifics this summer, because I know something's going to happen and you're going to wish you had some.
I wonder if it worked with that fellow with Agent Orange that called in the other day.
Well, he's going to get a bottle. We'll find out.
Yeah.
He will get a bottle free. And if you'd like a free bottle, call us. If you haven't gotten one, we'll have one sent to you. We'll be right back after this short break. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer.
Welcome back to
to the show, or welcome to the show. If you weren't able to hear the first hour, hopefully you'll listen to the whole second hour. And if you did hear the first hour, hopefully you'll listen to the whole second hour. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. He's written a great book called Mercury Free. You should try to get one of those when you call him. 407-774-8255 is our phone number. And just a quick review of the first hour. We talked about the glitch in the stock market, and it appears to be just a computer glitch at this point. But we talked about the Chinese stock market, where they're over there going, hi, which means ouch. So they're taking it on the chin over there. But the unfortunate thing about the Chinese stock market is they're new to this sort of thing. And the regime over there is viewing this financial crisis as a threat to the regime. So it could get nasty and ugly right quick, as Mike knows from trading stocks for 38 years.
The psychology of these investors who've never been through a market that has been way up and down. They haven't had this for 20 years. And so, you know, you have all these young people who are putting their fortunes thinking how simple this has been, because last year the market went up 150%. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be just traumatic. I'm looking forward tomorrow morning to see how this market opens up.
And it could affect the commodities market worldwide. Gold, maybe not necessarily gold, but I mean the commodities that we build with, oil, copper, right. Aluminum,
and then and it's going to have a currency effect. You know, depending on how traumatic this is, there'll be that's going to have an economic effect.
Speaking of exporting, importing,
and here we go.
Speaking of currency effect, guess who else is going to be hit by this? If it continues,
well,
the casinos, because
oh, yeah.
The Chinese,
right. Yeah, that's exactly
they're
right.
The big, they're, yeah. They call them the whales.
Yeah.
They're the ones with all the money right now.
Yeah.
And so if you got stock in Wynn, you might want to reconsider that. We also talked about Donald Trump. It's my opinion anyway, that the GOP is missing an opportunity to show leadership on this issue. Turn it to your advantage, GOP. If you don't like what Trump is saying, don't slam him. Show that you have a solution. Show us that you know what you're talking about. Don't just come down on Donald because he's being mean to the poor Mexicans. You know, instead, they turn and they run away from it. They don't want to deal with the issue. That is wussification.
Chris, you just wonder, like we were talking about earlier, why don't you just don't outline all the atrocities that are taking place where the simple American can easily understand it, and then just say, look, we're all for legal immigration. I mean, it's you're not going to lose everybody. Man up. Go after the vote. But just frame it smartly.
Don't
just be a punching bag where they're just constantly, I don't like using this word, just shooting arrows at you the whole time, and you're not firing back.
And
you're not doing a good job.
It is not the compassionate thing to turn a blind eye and allow these folks to come here illegally and begin a life of crime, which is what it is. They may live, quote unquote, as law-abiding citizens, but it reminds me of that guy, what was his name, Bulger, or Rusty Bulger,
right,
or whatever.
Yes,
he lived,
yeah.
What, 25, 30 years as a law-abiding citizen, right? But he was a criminal because he had committed a crime, which involved, in that case, murder.
I think he paid taxes, though. Think about this, $113 billion a year we spend on illegal immigration. You think we could put that to work?
Yeah.
Be more efficient?
Yep.
And take care of our poor?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We don't want to do it. That's too logical. That's crazy.
All right. Al's been holding quite a while. I want to thank you for calling and holding, Al. We appreciate you being out there.
Yes, sir. I just want to revert back to the topic in the previous segment.
About the utopia housing.
Yeah, exactly. The housing and the mixing of the communities, which I think is kind of smart.
How
and
so?
If Republicans were smart enough, they would take these people who are from, you know, who are getting these subsidies and teach them the way of the Republican way. That's how I would look at it.
So, in other words, you're saying that it would be a good thing to have affirmative action in housing because it would be an opportunity for the people in the upper classes, if you will, to teach the lower classes how to be better capitalists. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That's what college is for.
Yeah, well, that's what hard work is for.
Let's see.
That's
but
what,
they don't know that.
Well, that
they don't know that.
But see, by giving them something, you reinforce that ignorance. You don't. It's not an incentive for them to learn. It's an incentive for them not to learn. Al, I understand your logic,
different.
But it's upside down.
But that's different because we're separating them. We're keeping them in the ghettos. We're keeping them Section 8. So therefore, they're not learning nothing from each other. You mix it up with the people that got some money.
Well, now you made a point, and I think if we need to look at it in reverse, though. The capital needs to go into what you called the ghetto and switch that situation around. Unfortunately, the capital won't come in when it doesn't see an incentive to come in. And that's where we're in this sort of negative, deadly cycle. We can't get out of this broken cycle because you have so many people on welfare who are dependent on welfare and therefore can't get off of it. And so there is no incentive for them to work. So there is no incentive for the capital to come in. Mike.
Yes, plus the other thing is, Al, there's always been an Irish ghetto, an Italian ghetto. And guess what? A lot of them got out. And how did they get out? Hard work. Trying to get educated, abide by the law, and they got out. Isn't that something?
A lot of them got out because they didn't take the government handout,
or
the government handout wasn't available.
Right.
You see, this is what I was talking about also, Al, is that this type of government, how should I say, manipulation, it is a poison to the human spirit. It makes the human spirit weak. And feeble. It does not make the human spirit strong. Struggle is what makes the human spirit strong. And that's what capitalism is all about. Now, you make a point, but you have to look at it in the reverse. I think you're just sort of looking at it backwards or upside down. The capital needs to go into the ghetto, but it needs to have an incentive to go into the ghetto. And the incentive would be educated workers who have a good, strong work ethic, for one. And a strong social network for two. And what I mean by that is strong community leadership, strong churches, strong professionals who came out of the ghetto and go back to help show the way out. You see where we're coming from, Al? You see how it's different?
No, sir. No, it's not going to change. It's going to remain the same.
Well, that, as long, let me put it this way. As long as you look for the solutions in the same places, like, for instance, with the Democratic Party, you're going to be absolutely right. You're going to have to look for the solutions in different places. You're going to have to take the bold step of saying, I don't want to rely on the government anymore. I want to rely on myself. And that can be done as an individual, and it can be done as a community. But until that decision is made, you're right. Thanks, Al. Appreciate you being out there, man. It's always a great conversation with you. Thanks a lot. 407-774-8255 is the number. And right on time, Nostra Dennis has pulled up into the studio.
Swinging guy.
Literally. I got up early this morning. I had to be up at 6:20 to watch Carl Jackson. You said he was styling and profiling. Since he was talking about Paula Deen, does that mean he was styling and racially profiling?
He's smart. He racially profiles. He's smart.
But, you know, 3 hours after his appearance, Salon.com, which is what his opponent in the Fox and Friends segment writes for, had a piece up with this headline. Fox and Friends guest on Paula Deen. I think blacks have too much time on their hands just because we're unemployed.
Did you hear him say that?
I didn't hear him say that. I didn't hear it. It wasn't that way.
It was a throwaway comment towards the end of the interview. When
that
he
must
was,
have been the early one.
Yeah, the 6:20.
Okay, I missed that one.
Where they were talking about the brown face incident with Paula Deen's son.
And by the way, this was posted, I guess, on her Twitter or Facebook by one of her publicists. They pulled it down. He was fired. It was a picture from Halloween.
Right.
They were dressed
from Halloween 4 years ago.
They were in Halloween costumes.
Right.
And he was she was Lucy, and he was supposed to be Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't a black face. It was sort of a brown face.
Now, here's the stupid thing about it.
But it was a Halloween costume.
Anybody who's ever watched I Love Lucy, and I would say that's about 4 billion people, They know that Ricky Ricardo is not a dark-skinned Hispanic. He's not George Lopez Hispanic.
He's Cuban.
He's George Zimmerman Hispanic.
Right, he's Cuban.
He is a light skin. He's lighter skinned than Lucille Ball was. So,
well, I don't know about that, but he was pretty
They were pretty close.
Yeah. And, Let's just say he could have passed.
So the way she dressed him up was kind
of
dopey.
Of course, as soon as these words came out of his mouth, you kind of knew.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Weird Al Yankovic does a great Desi Arnaz.
But
he just has to talk like this.
I thought it was good. Very entertaining.
Yeah, I thought Carl did a great job, and he did represent the station well, and he'll be back.
Have you ever eaten at a Paula Deen restaurant, though? I actually did that. I was up in Savannah, Georgia. I didn't know about that, but, you know, my wife, we got to go eat.
Was it good?
Yeah. You know, but it was mostly like fried.
How was the deep fried stick of butter?
Yeah, because it was. It was like heavily fried chicken, fried that. And, you know, I felt like I had a heart attack by the time I got out of the place.
Fat and lard.
Everybody goes, this is just wonderful. And I'm thinking, wow, I guess I just don't get it. I sort of prefer lobster and shrimp. But
hey, man, I was raised on fried chicken.
I know, but it was really.
That's
like
ambrosia
said,
to me,
shocked.
Buddy. Yeah,
you know,
that's ambrosia.
It looked like a health club, I can tell you that.
All right. Okay, we'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we have another caller on the line. And if you want to participate, the number, once again, is 407-774-8255. And don't forget, if you miss any of our shows or want to hear it again to make sure we did or didn't say something, you can do that by going to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, where we archive the show. And we're also on YouTube, although not every show. Soon I want to get every show up on YouTube, though. But our channel on YouTube is American Adversaries TV. And don't forget, when you're at our website, consider joining the American Adversaries Army. It's real easy to do. Just go to the recruiting office, and for a mere $5 a month, you can help us fight the fight to keep freedom free here in the United States of America. $5 a month, plus it'll get you a great newsletter. The July one's getting ready to come out. Got all kind of coupons and discounts in there. And you'll be entered into a drawing for a free cruise on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise, which departs from Port Canaveral on November the 13th. The clock says zero, so we'll be right back.
This is Sunny, the California girl. And I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American Adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
Well, thank you, Sonny. Tune in to Sonny on Sunday nights here on the three-hour tour of the American Adversaries. Yeah, this appearance by Carl on Fox and Friends, that is Elizabeth Hasselbeck, right?
I believe it is,
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
or is that Carl? No, wait.
No. She's sort of in the middle. Yeah.
I don't know what he's identifying as today.
So the headline says, quote, "I think blacks have too much time on their hands just because we're unemployed." What he was in the midst of saying was, blacks have too much time on their hands to take care of stupid nonsense like this. And then he threw in as an afterthought, just because we're unemployed. With our high unemployment rates, he's quoted here in the Salon story, we have to focus on nonsense like this. What he was saying was just the opposite. With our high unemployment rates, we have to focus on that rather than nonsense like this.
Right.
And he had a great line that he used in both shows, the 620 and the 720 with Amy Caulfield on Fox.
Yeah, Amy.
If Paula Deen was busy organizing gay chefs to confiscate Christian bakeries, the left would be championing her.
Yeah.
What she should have been doing is giving money to Democrat campaigns. Then she could get away with real racism like George Takei.
Except I think she was giving money to Democratic campaigns. And by the way, real quick, a lot of people are trying to make a big deal out of the fact that Trump gave to Hillary Clinton's campaign and other Democrats. If you live in New York, you contribute to the Democrats because it's extortion.
It's like being at a casino. You put your money on who you think's going to win.
It's not just that. It's protection money.
Right.
It's
and
protection
a lot of
money.
Put money on both
if
sides.
You're in real
That's
estate,
right.
You know, for zoning and all the laws, you better be giving them money.
That's right.
You got a real problem ahead of you.
Unfortunately, that's what it amounts to. Let's go to John, who's been holding. John, thank you for holding. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Excellent. Thanks for calling. Yourself?
Yeah, good. I just wanted to make a comment about what Al had to say.
Okay.
He made a comment about people being stuck in, this.
The ghetto. As he put it,
You know, as if there's some external force that's forcing
holding them there, right?
To stay here.
Right.
The only thing that's keeping those people there is they themselves. They choose not to see something better for themselves and actually get out and work.
Well, and the government has a part in this, too, because the government is making it comfortable for them to choose to take money from them rather than try to lift themselves out of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's how they managed to keep those votes. Yeah.
And that, but that's what I was. That's the point I was trying to make with Al at the very end there. I said he's right. As long as they are willing to stay and support the same people, keep voting for the Democrats, you're going to keep getting the same crap. They're going. It is their choice. They are going to be the ones, the people who are in the ghetto, the people who are in the poor communities. It is up to them. It is up to them. As long as they buy into the same old BS, they're going to get the same old BS.
And don't you think, too, I mean, the experiment's over. Look at all the major cities run by the Democrats.
Right.
Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore. How many do we have to name? The experiment's over.
Yep.
They should figure it out. They should change. But, you know, they do the same thing, vote for the same people, follow the same leaders, and, oh, well, same results, right?
Yep. John?
Yep. The another observation to be made is take a look at the condition of that property. You give these people this property, and it's just not maintained.
No.
Who would want to live there in the first place, but they're there.
That's right. That's right.
What the government does for the people. It always backfires because they never really anticipate the unintended consequences about their decision.
Yeah, just think of it logically. I mean, would you appreciate something more if you worked hard to get it or if it were given to you?
Well, that's the only way I've gotten my stuff.
That's right.
When they first started, when Habitat for Humanity first started, they would give people houses. And they found that more often than not, the houses would end up in foreclosure anyway.
Yeah.
They decide you have to work for it. You have to work to build it, and you have to pay a certain amount each month towards the upkeep.
Right. Because without that, once again, your spirit is crushed. You become weak and feeble, and then you are no good to anybody.
Just ride around Detroit.
Exactly.
And I've been up there numerous times, and you'll see exactly what happens. If you don't buy the house yourself, watch what happens.
Yep. John, excellent call. We appreciate you being out there. By the way, it's summertime. Do you have any Roxy Pacifics in the medicine cabinet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was out in my yard and rubbed up. I was trimming my trees and rubbed up against something. I don't know what it was. Started to break out a little rash, and I put some of that stuff right on it and took care of it.
Hey, I tell you, this stuff really works. Great,
good
John.
Well, send us a selfie.
Oh, by the way, did you hear in Russia they're having to come up with laws against selfie because so many people are hurting themselves taking them?
John, yeah, I hear you. You wanted a selfie. Well, I didn't tell you where I rubbed up.
No. John, thank you, John. We don't want a selfie.
Maybe we don't.
Actually, listen to our next segment.
Yeah, okay. All right, anyway, thank you, John. God bless you. Appreciate you being out there. All right, let's go now to Carmelo. Carmelo, thank you for calling us. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, how you doing?
Excellent. Yourself?
I'm over here working hard to support myself, support my kids.
God bless you, man. That's the American way.
Exactly.
Well,
my topic today about the people on welfare, you know, it's like, you know, I understand people that are, you know, they got the disability, you know, from birth and stuff like that, which I don't mind being taxed to help them out because they're right thing to do.
Sure.
But you got these people that are, they don't want to work, and they just keep on mooching off the government. And, you know, I worked 30-plus years. Never in my life, never, ever, ever took food stamps, welfare, or nothing.
I'm just wondering, why are you a Democrat?
You know what it is? Democrat, Republicans, they're all corrupt. I mean,
I agree with you, but why would you vote Democrat?
You know, the thing is that, I'm a Democrat, you know, Democrat because, you know, when Clinton was in office, you know, he did away with that food stamp stuff, like the welfare. You want to get wealthy, you have to work. They should bring, they should do something like that. Like, you want to get welfare, you have to get a job. Do something. Give them little subsidies, like for childcare, something to help them out to get them out of the ghetto.
Well, in states, Carmelo, where they propose that, who fights against it? The Democratic leadership.
Yeah, but Carmelo.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, but Clinton, when he had that thing out,
boom,
it's gone.
Yeah, and that was, by the way, because he had Newt Gingrich and the Republicans in the Congress. But, yeah, he signed the Welfare Reform Act, and it has been one of the most successful pieces of legislation ever actually enacted.
Yeah, and they took it away.
That's right.
Why did you do that?
It's because liberals, unfortunately, the fact of the matter is liberals prefer people to be beholden to the government because they're easily manipulated. It's a terrible thing because, as I said, it's a poison to the human spirit. You have a strong spirit because you've been out there working. You've been out there doing for your family and your kids. And I bet people come to you when they need help because they know you're a strong man. Yeah, I know it. And you see,
I do support them.
Yeah.
And the people,
unfortunately,
the people who can be doing that for themselves and are not, they're weak and they know it and they're ashamed on top of it. And it's just a downward spiral. And it's a tough thing to get them to come out of it. A lot of it has to do with them deciding for themselves, though, at the end of the day.
This jockey, this song is dedicated to our president, Mr. Zero. Oh, that is Mr. Obama. No, he's not quite the warrior king, right? He's the dancing queen.
He's still royalty, though.
Oh, he certainly is. Now, I got a question for Carmelo. Are you there?
Carmelo, are you still with us?
Yes.
Oh, good. Here's a question, Carmelo, because you sound like you're somewhat maybe an independent. You know, maybe you've
Yeah, because you know what it is?
That's what it sounds like to me, right?
Yeah, I work hard for my money, you know? I don't mind getting taxed to help the people that really needs it. But you got people out there that, you know, really, they just, you know, bringing kids to the world like it's a paycheck.
I got to tell you, I like your attitude. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you think of Don Trump, out of curiosity?
Dude, you know what? I'm Hispanic. I'm Puerto Rican, 100%. And his comment was a really off-road, but I like his vision.
Would you vote for him?
Of course, yes.
All right.
It's not about Hispanic, black, white. It's not about that.
One other quick question. If it were Trump, Bush, or Rubio, who would you vote for?
Oh, Trump, 100%. Forget about, Trump.
Wow, very good. Very good.
Well, because lobbyists can't buy him out to vote his way.
That's right.
Excellent point, Carmelo. Hey, listen, thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there. And we're going to get you a bottle of Roxy Pacifics in the mail, man. Anybody who works as hard as you needs some Roxy Pacifics on the Roxys. God bless you, man. God bless you. And keep living the American dream.
That's what I'm doing. I'm living my American dream.
All right. Well, somebody out there is noticing, okay? All right, so keep doing it. And that's the backbone of America right there.
Right.
That is the backbone of America.
But that's why when we get in this primary in the state of Florida, I don't know if Bush can take the state.
He's weak.
You know,
he's weak.
I bet right now I don't think he can take the state.
That's right. Excellent calls today. And once again, folks, if you would like to call, you can do it right now at 407-774-8255. FSU and their quarterback, that problem continues. But the Redskins are in the news again today also.
Yeah, Chris, I know we were talking about a little bit earlier, a judge, an activist judge, that's what I call him.
Yeah.
He comes out and he makes a statement that the trademark situation with the Redskins, that the Redskins will not be entitled to use the trademark.
And who gets to decide this?
The judge gets to decide this. Well, evidently it has to do with the copyright. I mean, the copyright, when you apply for a copyright or a trademark, they don't have to approve it. There's a number of things that they review. Now, this is one that's already been a long ago approved,
obviously.
This
has been long ago. This has been active for years.
Does this need to be renewed now or what?
I don't know. I don't know the details of it. But I do know that, you know, the copyright office, they can come along, evidently, and make changes.
Remember,
this is the Obama administration, remember?
Didn't we just discuss it a week ago where President Obama jumped into the fray and stated that with the new stadium coming up, that if they didn't change the name, he was going to get involved?
Do
you think that had any influence upon the judge?
Yes, he got involved.
Right. I mean, we both talked about it.
Not only that, but, and Carl addressed this morning on Fox and Friends, we have this sort of runaway train with the Confederate flag thing, you see. This is all part of that. Right. If we can't have the Confederate flag, why should we have the Washington Redskins called the Redskins?
Right.
And even though, see, this is it's sort of reverse bigotry because they don't understand what Redskins even means.
Right. Well, we
the
were
Indians,
talking...
Native Americans are not red-skinned. So they're not being called Redskins because of the color of their skin. Has nothing to do with their race. It has to do with their culture, the way they lived. The red skin came from...
Well, we were talking about that earlier. When the back in the Pilgrims used to cross over up in Nova Scotia, the Redskins or the Indians that are not red-skinned would stand on the rocks. They would take the clay. They would smear it all over their body, you know, as a way to try to frighten off the Pilgrims and the people coming across.
And
that's how the name Redskins came about. And but again, it gets distorted. And as we mentioned earlier, let's go to the word Washington. What was George Washington? Slaveholder. So now what are they going to do? I wonder what the judge is going to do with him.
Yeah, well, don't give him any ideas.
I know, because we both know which of those two names we'd vote out, right? Will it be Redskins or Washington? Washington's gone.
But the point is, Redskins never was a derogatory term. And it was adopted by the first owner and coaches of the team. The first coach of the team was a Native American.
And do you think the paying public accepts the name? Obviously, sold out all the time.
Even
so
when they
upset
stink
about this.
When the name was first taken by the team, it was seen as a show of reverence to Native Americans. It was a show of admiration. It was not in any way derogatory or racist.
What are you going to do with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I suppose you're going to do the same thing with the Atlanta Braves.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to have to get rid of the names of Indianapolis and Indiana.
Yeah.
Right? Along with Washington,
I guess. How about 21 states whose names are based on Native American words?
Well, how about the Magic? Well, maybe we'll name them the Fairy Flowers.
And perhaps we can't even be using Native American names. I mean, we should reconsider naming Lake Okeechobee. Or the Econ Lockahatchee River.
Without a doubt.
Right? We can't be using their words. That is somehow demeaning to them.
We're broadcasting from Seminole County right now. What are we going to do?
Oh, heaven forfend.
Maybe this is job creation by the Ivy League schools. I don't know. This is a way of approaching it with semantics. This is, boy. You know.
Well, Dr. K, one of his sons, AJ, is getting ready to go to UNLV.
Right.
You know, their mascot, their name is, right?
Right.
They're the Running Rebels.
They're the Running Rebels. How long are we going to tolerate that?
Right.
Right?
Where are they running?
Well, we can't have that.
Are they running to or from someplace? I have no idea.
Well, when Tarkanian was running the basketball team, they were usually running over the opponents.
He was running numbers, too, so we don't want
right
to go near that.
Well, you live in Las Vegas, so what are you going to do, right?
I'm looking forward to this year's Rutgers mascot. I got to see what he... I don't know what
all
he's going to look
four of them,
like.
You mean?
Yeah, he's like five people, right? He's
a gay, he's a woman,
lesbian,
he's black,
he's a white.
Is there a wheelchair Rutgers night now?
Well, now be careful, because they may start doing the same thing at the University of Illinois.
Oh,
tell us about that one,
came
Mike
up today. They claim another racial incident that a certain group of players were, you know, treated, and race was part of this, and they can't have that at a major university. But I sometimes wonder, you know, when you're playing sports, you've played sports all through your life, from 12 years. So all of a sudden, this racial thing just showed up at the university. Or was it that you were a lousy player and the coach sat you down on the bench, or the coach said goodbye?
Was this a college football team?
I think it was. Actually, I jumped in on the end. I thought it was possibly the girls' basketball team. But it doesn't matter what team it is.
No.
You know what I mean? Because you played since you've been a child, and all of a sudden, race has something to do with it, and they were upset because they weren't starting. Well, hello. This is a process where the coach is going to have to make a judgment, right?
Yeah.
You stink.
Right.
No, it just gets tougher as you go along. You're good for the level you played at last year.
Yeah.
You haven't been able to step it up.
But to
so
allow this
starting
team to tie the courts up, that's just garbage. This is a sport. Don't give me this stuff. And I mean, and like Illinois isn't watching out for something like that with what's going on this day and age? Come on.
Well, not only that, but any coach in his right mind is going to put the best team on the floor, especially at that level of competition.
Yeah, because you're fired.
Exactly.
You don't win, you're fired.
Right. You want the W's. And
You don't care how you get them. And you, well, I mean, as long as you, let me just put it this way. You care about how you get them, but you don't care who gets them for you
right.
in terms of what the color of their skin is. All you care about is if they can put the ball across the line, in
right.
the hoop, or over the fence.
And if you that's do care about what color your players are and you start people based on that,
you won't
that's
last
a recipe
long.
For failure.
And you won't last long.
No, you'll never, yeah.
You just want, at that level of sports,
right.
you will not last long. At almost any level of sports, you will not last long doing that.
But,
which
you know,
is why the sports, along with the military, is where the... You know, integration
yeah.
in our societies begins. You know,
yep.
even in the Civil War, the society was, it was the new Union military that began to integrate the blacks into the society, right?
Yep. And I'm still, though, I'm still upset about this ESPYs, ABC, ESPN. Wasn't Renee Richards the first transgender? Remember
she was,
the tennis?
Tennis, yeah, the doctor.
Tennis pro?
Yeah.
Pro,
and she actually went
limelight.
Through with it.
Right, and
he's
who actually
turning into
well,
shape?
Wait a second, did she win that? No, but Bruce won.
Well, they
it.
Didn't have ESPYs in, did they?
Oh,
well, they
well,
should give
thank
to her
God.
Retroactively.
Yeah. They should give
or
her Irving Fulbright Award.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
you know, it's just
be a lot better than giving it to Jenner.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking? He just sort of just switched his name to Bruce Jenner, because then we'll always remember him for his, you know,
by the way,
for what he was.
For what he was.
Speaking of ABC, ESPN, owned
right.
by the Walt Disney Company, Walt
right.
Disney just announced yesterday. Or it was announced that they took down the bust of Bill Cosby from Disney's Hollywood studios. They have a bunch of celebrities, you know,
that's racist
bronze
to
busts
me.
Outside, right? Are they racist?
That's racist to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting because
even though I could see why they do it, but I'll be like the rest of the public. Oh, that's racist! I can't believe he did it just because he raped 10 people. What's wrong with you?
Right? Yeah, and evidently in a deposition, he. Basically, well, he didn't
he admitted.
He came out and admitted the charges against
drugs.
Him. But what's interesting is Whoopi Goldberg is still defending him, saying, you know, we must be presumed innocent until guilty. Well, he just admitted the guilt for one, Whoopi. But all I can think of is imagine if a white man had done this. Do you think Whoopi Goldberg would be defending him right now?
She wouldn't even know his name.
I hardly think
yeah.
so.
Well, imagine.
And to think if a white man had done this to black women,
mm-hmm.
do you think that she would be doing this?
Imagine.
And by the way, he was gender neutral. He did it to both black and white women, and I presume Hispanic too.
Imagine if a white Hispanic got involved in an altercation with a black person. Do you think she would jump to judgment and say he was guilty, or do you think she would say, let's just wait and see. Let's wait till all the facts come out. Let's cooler heads prevail here.
Are you setting me up here?
Well, Chris, remember we just earlier today we talked about that murder in Baltimore at the University of Maryland. In Baltimore, three people were killed with a shotgun. It was yesterday or early today. And it doesn't seem like a very predominant story. Now, granted, there's a lot of stories out there, but I'll bet you that just vanishes off the paper in the next day or so.
Well,
it will never be discussed.
Well, that comes in the wake of the white man who was beaten by a black mob over the weekend.
Yeah, well, see, they don't fit the scripted storylines,
yeah.
so they don't get the play, you see? Which, like this guy Francisco Sanchez out there in California who shot that woman with a stolen gun that was stolen out of a car of a federal agent. And that's not going to get any play because that legitimizes what Donald Trump is talking about, for instance.
Right.
And it calls into question why we have these things, why we tolerate these things called sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities, right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Chris,
uh-huh.
The Super Bowl is in a sanctuary city this year, San Francisco, and I'm getting scared. I don't know if I'm going to go out there because I'm afraid somebody's going to get me.
Yeah.
You know, the big guy.
I mean, how have we tried that and say, move the Super Bowl? This is terrible.
The big Fuzzbo had a great idea today. He said, why don't we come up with a conservative sanctuary city where only people who know what the heck they're talking about can live in? Just not let anybody else in with their dumb ideas.
Oh, they got that. It's called Bithlo.
I don't know about that.
By the way, you just mentioned Baltimore. I got this text from Carl. And I thought I caught a glimpse of this on the news, but I didn't catch enough to know exactly what it was. But the Baltimore mayor has fired the police commissioner due to the high homicide rate in Baltimore.
Like, and, this just started, though.
And, you know, like, and evidently how he has handled the riots here recently.
Yeah, she thanked him for his service and then told him his services were no longer needed.
Now, this is the mayor who told him to stand down during the riots.
But imagine the deaths all the way up to this point. I mean, like, hey, baby, this has been happening for years in Baltimore. What are you talking about? You were there.
Yeah, exactly. She's made a scapegoat out of the guy is what she has done. To basically cover up her own ineptitude, I believe, which is what the liberals are very good at, covering up their own ineptitude. By the way, did you know gun sales were up in June again? The hottest month, hottest June ever for gun sales.
Like I say, just go to a gun show. I mean, to me, it was one of the greatest. I couldn't believe the number of people that show up to something like that. I mean, like thousands.
Oh, yeah.
This president has been the best thing for gun and ammo manufacturers since 2008.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
They have just skyrocketed.
I actually did notice that because I'm a hunter, and I noticed at Walmart the other day I was looking for shells. You know, we go pheasant hunting. But actually, they had a lot of shells. So, you know, for a while, you couldn't even buy shotgun shells or anything.
Right.
Prices
were way
up.
But now they've sort of restored everything. So it is back up, except the price is way up, too.
Yep. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to talk about Baylor, Baylors, and celebrators.
Wow.
Not celebrators, celebrators. That's Baylor, Baylors, and celebrators, or celebrators, I should say. All right, so don't go away. You are listening to the American Adversaries Primetime Drive Time Show.
Welcome back. I'm Mike McBath here with Christopher Hart and Nostra Dennis, and we're just doing an update on some of our favorite songs. Now, let's take a look at. Well, I got to get into your story on Baylor.
Two girls for every guy.
It's a Mormon song.
And let me tell you something. When I start taking selfies, it's going to be three girls for every guy.
I hear you, my man. All right. Styling and profiling. Welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. And once again, we'd love to have you join the American Adversaries Army. We need you to join the American Adversaries Army to help us continue this and take it to bigger and better things. All you have to do is go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, go to the recruiting office, and you can either sign up online or you can do it through the mail, snail mail version. And for a mere $5 a month, you'll get a great newsletter with discounts, coupons, and all kinds of stuff. And there'll be perks all along the way, great things that we got in mind. And also, you'll be automatically entered in a drawing for a free cruise, a free ticket on the cruise that we're calling our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. We'll depart from Port Canaveral on November the 13th for a three-night cruise. It's going to be a lot of fun. The tickets are very inexpensive. If you would like to make a reservation, put a deposit on a ticket, it's only $100 to put a deposit. And for some of the tickets, that's almost half the price. Just go to vacationtravelplanners.com, vacationtravelplanners.com. Or, of course, if you want to be entered in the drawing for a free one, just go to our webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and enlist in the Army. Okay, Baylor, Baylors, and celebrators. Nostra Dennis.
You know, Baylor had a rough time last year because they really deserved to be in the Final Four in the football playoffs, and they got shut out.
Yeah.
Maybe they decide to change the rules a little bit, and maybe that'll bring them good luck this coming year.
Uh-huh.
Baylor is the world's largest Baptist university, but it has removed a ban on homosexual acts from its sexual conduct policy. They quietly changed the policy back on May 15th. They didn't really announce it. They just made the change. The school, by the way, was among the 20 most LGBT unfriendly in a Princeton Review survey last year. So this is kind of a big departure for them.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, honestly, I wonder how that's going to. I say this seriously. How that's going to affect their giving from their alumni?
It's a good question.
And I mean that because look at what the school stands for. And you said quietly.
Quietly, yes.
I think there could be a real backlash from the alumni and money, money, money.
Same-sex acts used to be in the same group, according to Baylor, as incest, adultery, sexual harassment, sexual abuse, and sexual assault. All those things are still no good on campus, but they have moved same-sex acts into it's okay. You're not going to get in trouble. Although, they still say marriage is between a man and a woman as a lifetime commitment.
Well, now this brings to mind the question, and Mike was talking, we were talking about this during one of the breaks, this policy in California where you have to get, you have to sign these permission slips, you know, to have sex with somebody. You remember that story?
Oh, yeah. I got a whole bunch of Post-its all filled out. Just ready for the initials.
I saw that Post-its, on TV last night, and I couldn't believe it, but I'm going the polygamy route. So I'm going to have my picture taken with three or four and make sure that the school does it. Mm-hmm. I have to have at least four condoms.
But odds are in your favor.
And then four mints. That's a, I mean, and then a bag to hold it in. That's how they describe it.
A pack of cigarettes while you're at it.
Yeah.
But the thing is in California now, the thought dawned on me. If co-eds are going to have permission slips to have sex, do gays also, is it going to be required?
I would.
Or would it be discriminatory if it were not required of them?
Good for the goose, good for the gander. I don't know if that's an appropriate expression anymore.
Watch out with that
good
goose.
Good for the gander
thing.
And the gander.
I would think so.
Oh,
because
Baylor.
That would be discrimination if, you know. But isn't that sick?
That's
the height of government getting in your face.
By the way, in Baylor, there is still a ban on alcohol on campus.
Oh, well, we're going to let them have gay sex, but no alcohol.
And
huh?
They didn't lift a ban on dancing on the college campus until the movie Footloose came out in the 1990s. How crazy is that?
But, you know, when they always have those. Actually, when you talk about alcohol, a lot of NCAA colleges now are opening up to alcohol in their stadiums that have never been. And I'm talking about major schools because of the revenues.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about $1 million difference at the end of the year for a lot of these major institutions.
But it's caused some problems.
Opening up on alcohol.
It's caused security problems.
So I think the games are going to get a lot more fun.
Yeah.
At least a lot more boisterous.
The profit margin on those.
And the girls are going to get a lot prettier.
There you go. Immediately. The profit margins on those beers and hot dogs is extraordinary.
Oh, extraordinary.
All right. Speaking of hot dogs, what about the Baylors?
Yeah, we're not talking about. Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about men who marry women and then decide later on that they like men.
They bail out of the marriage.
Story in the BBC says that this is starting to become rampant over there, and it is also happening over here. In fact, you and I, Chris, know someone ourselves who married a man, and then he declared 2 kids later, by the way, I like guys. Now, this is...
I'm uncomfortable.
This is such.
We're thinking about a lawsuit. I'm uncomfortable.
Such a selfish thing to do. If you know you like men, why would you do that to someone?
Well, that's true. But I will say, in the case of the person that we know, that those 2 children that they produced are very precious.
And thank goodness for that. And that's due to the mom.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, he had some small. She raised them, but he helped her make them.
Yeah.
And they are very, very precious.
Oh, they're
to
wonderful.
Me.
Did he
they're
help
wonderful.
Her pay for them? That's the question.
He did.
Okay.
All right. Baylors, and celibators.
Yeah, this celibator story is something that's really, really causing Johnny Gunn some concern because he's a big Indiana fan. He's from the Hoosier State. He's been a fan of Peyton Manning his whole career. He likes Andrew Luck. Now he thinks he might need to add Russell Wilson to his favorite quarterbacks list.
Uh-oh, of the Seattle Seahawks?
Yes, Russell Wilson has been talking about his relationship with Ciara. Ciara is a stunningly beautiful woman. I don't know if you've seen
her. I thought it was the Sierra Club. I thought, Sierra.
Ciara.
I thought it was a brand of vodka.
And I would almost agree. It says he describes her as the most beautiful woman in the world, except for Mrs. Nostradamus.
Of course.
But he had a sit-down with Pastor Miles McPherson of the Rock Church in San Diego, and that was recorded, and it's been out there on the Internet. And he mentioned that shortly after they began dating, Wilson said he received a message from God regarding his new love, and he decided that the two of them are going to stay celibate until they become married. And this is just blowing people's minds. He's a quarterback in the NFL.
Wait, he said he's going to stay celibate with her.
Well, yeah. Mike.
You know, they're not married,
how
right?
How jaded are you, Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, he played in the NFL, okay?
I get that story. Yeah, we'll be celibate, but listen, I won't be home till Friday, okay?
But, you know, if you put out, if you do a Google search of famous celebrity virgins, you're not going to find very many.
Well, you're right about that.
Barack Obama?
No, no, he's screwed a lot of people. He's screwed millions of people.
Touche. Okay. Nice. All right, great work.
Did you want to throw Jimmy Carter in there?
Yeah, tell us about Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter has a new book out because he's just turned 90 years old. The book's called A Full Life, Reflections at 90. And he believes that Jesus would approve of gay marriage. He says he doesn't have any verse in Scripture for this, but it's just his own personal opinion. He thinks Jesus would, and I quote, encourage any love affair if it was honest and sincere and not damaging to anyone. That covers quite a lot, doesn't it?
This is the guy who said he lusted with his eyes or
I
whatever.
Know. Isn't that great? Yeah. He's pretty old now.
Yeah, any love affair. Does that mean if you don't know it, it won't hurt you?
That's right, something like that.
Yeah, all right, thanks a lot, Nostradamus, Mike McBath. We'll be back tomorrow night with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Thanks for listening to us. And please, don't forget, go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and enlist in the Army. You will be glad you did, I guarantee you. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative. AM 660, The Answer.